Well, I really appreciated John Murphy's split sermon, and I would like everybody to really think about that. I've always wanted to do that. Good to see Laveda again. Nice to have her back, and welcome everybody. A lot of our sermons tend to be very idealistic, and of necessity they are that way because our Savior Jesus Christ was perfect. We talk about God's law, God's principles, about faith and hope, and of course these are very lofty principles, and you know, we strive to attain those principles. And we strive to become like Jesus Christ and God our Father. And we hope to be with Him one day. We aspire to that. But then we look at where we are, and we sometimes are discouraged. We look at the gap between the ideal and where we are, and we have to start where we are. There's no other place to start. So, what do we do about that? We have biblical tools. We have prayer. You know, we talk to God. We tell God how we feel. We tell God our struggles and our, you know, our weaknesses, admit our faults, ask for help. We have Bible study, which is God talking to us. We read about the ideals that I just talked about. And we read about God's law and about the benefits of God's law. So God is talking to us and telling us, you know, what to do and how to proceed. But how do we bring those together? How do we bring that down to our level and work through how to get from here to there? Well, today I'd like to talk about another tool, and that's the tool of meditation. That's why I said, well, let's just think about what John said. Because he did allude to that, you know, we need to take a look at this and really meditate on where we fit into this and how are we doing and so forth. So I'd like to talk about meditation in the time that I have. I prepared a little bit shorter message, so I may actually end a little early, but I remember growing up in the church when I was like 10 and so forth, and whenever it was under 3 hours, I just thought, wow, what a bonus, you know? And when the edict came down from headquarters that it couldn't go over 2, then I knew there was a God, you know? Just a little humor, you know. But just as a definition of meditation, there are quite a few definitions: directed thinking, reflection, contemplation, concentration. Synonyms would be to ponder, to consider, to analyze. Vines put it as putting things together in considering circumstances. So this is where we take God's law and these principles and we mull it over in our mind and say, okay, well, how does this apply to me? So we'll go into different aspects of this. But first of all, I'd like to talk about when. You know, when should we meditate? Well, I'd like to call your attention to the bulletin. On the front of the bulletin, there's a scripture. It's Psalms 119, verse 97. It says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." So we don't have any limitations on when we can meditate. We can think, you know, hopefully we're thinking most of the time. But we can meditate about God's law, meditate about all of these different things at any time, whenever we have the opportunity. So when we think, you know, when we have time to consider, to stop and consider, what do we think about? Romans 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So we want to meditate on God's way as much as we can. In talking with different people, I know that, you know, a lot of times we can meditate at work. I was basically a painting contractor for about 10 years, and there's a lot of time to think, depending on what your job is. You know, if you're an air traffic controller, don't meditate at work. If you're a painter, go ahead. There have been times when I've had a couple jobs that were just extremely tedious. You know, like maybe they'd replace all the windows in a house and then I'd have to primer and paint them by hand. You know, and you take an inch and a half brush and spend 2 weeks with it, you know. And I remember this one lady, another job, a bunch of millwork cracked out and I had to caulk it and then paint half of that bead of caulking with one color and the other half with another color. And I spent a week doing that. And the lady came in one day and she just shook her head and she says, "You have the patience of Job." But you have time to meditate. So, you know, you take advantage of those times to think about, you know, how does God's law, how do these principles apply in my life? It's nice to have a time, you know, a regular time to meditate as well. I know I always like to get a cup of coffee in the morning and just sit down and just think about, you know, what I'm going to do during the day, what, you know, what maybe problems or so forth I have to deal with, and just get a handle on the day by thinking about, you know, what to do. You know, it's really nice to have that time. It's nice to have a place. I know at Gary and Michelle's wedding, we were at Gary's sister's house, and I saw this little place, and I told Shannon, I said, come here and look at this. And what it was there's a little gap in the hedge, and you go through that gap, and there was a bunch of rockery work and some little cobblestones going down to a chair and a little table. And it was just a place all by itself to sit and just be alone and reflect. Just one chair and a little table in the middle of, you know, just hidden in the landscaping. So it's nice to have that. So we can meditate anytime, but it's also nice to have a place that's just quiet, that you can reflect. If that's, you know, outside, if that's, you know, in a little nook or cranny in your house, you know, wherever that might be, that you can just sort of clear your head and be able to think, to deeply think about issues in your life and so forth. Now, God also in His Word talks about what to meditate about. What do we meditate about? What do we think about when it's time? You know, when we have time. You know what the most common type of meditation is? Worry. That's true. Worry. It's the most common type of meditation. But we're told not to worry. I'd like to have you turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing," which is another way, you know, old King James way of saying, don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So he's saying, you know, don't fill your mind full of worry. Don't fill your mind full of negative things. There are issues we need to deal with, of course, but don't just concentrate on that. You know, concentrate on the good things, the things of God. So I have a couple things here to meditate about, and they tie in with what John was talking about. Because the first thing that we should concentrate on and meditate about is who God is, about God's greatness, his awesome creative ability. It's easy for me to look at God's creation and meditate. I enjoy science. I enjoy, you know, theoretical type things about, you know, how this all came to be and so forth and how it works, because they don't really know how it works. You know, I've said before that when the controversy came out about who God actually is and what God actually is, it's kind of silly because we don't even know what we are and what, you know, how the physical universe, you know, works and so forth. But it's just fascinating to me to meditate on just God's creative ability and his greatness. Psalms 8 and verse 3 to 4. Let's go to Psalms 8, verse 3, which I actually started a sermon with a while ago. It says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him?" So when we consider the work of God's hands, you know, his handiwork, you know, it tends to put our life in perspective. You know, who God is and who we are, like John was saying. It tends to put our, you know, our life, our issues, our problems into a better perspective, because our life and our problems and so forth can become our little world and we can't see outside of that. But if you can put that in the grander perspective, it often helps to, you know, work through those. God is so incredibly awesome, and his creation is incredibly awesome. I would actually like to do a sermon on God's signature, so to speak. Maybe those of you who are mathematically inclined could help me with that, because there seems to be a signature in nature. I've read several articles about how, you know, the mathematics of music and the mathematics you get into fractal geometry and things about how, you know, the mathematics behind the way things look. And then you get into the mathematics of the brain and so forth, and it's all kind of tied together. And it's like we like those things because we're hardwired to like them. And different patterns show up over and over and over again. And it's very fascinating, but it needs a lot more research. So meditate on God, our sovereign God, and what he has done for us. Those different boxes that John was talking about in that regard. Another thing I've already talked about is God's law. We need to meditate on God's law. The rest of Psalm 119 that was quoted on the bulletin. If we can go there, Psalm 119. And verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So it makes us wise. You know, God's word is a lamp to our feet, and so many other scriptures that talk about how, you know, the blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy, and how we can know how to live and be wiser through God's law. So the question we would ask when we're meditating on God's law is, how does God's law, how do his principles apply to me personally? You know, we're all different, and we all have different backgrounds, different circumstances, and we need to simply think about how these things apply to us personally. I know that in my life, you know, I can think about maybe a bad situation and maybe think about others, maybe family members or other people I know. And you can think, well, now, you know, they're in this situation. And then you go backwards and you go back through different decisions that were made. And most of the time you'll come to a turning point where, you know, there was a decision made and that led to other decisions and those led to other decisions. And it simply was not a wise course because it ended up in this bad situation. But then, knowing that, then when you're going forward in your own life, you come to a place where you need to make a decision. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? And that's where you really need to meditate and think, okay, well, what is the consequence of this decision? You know, and because it's can start very small. It starts just with a decision that may not have been wise, either on your part or possibly somebody else too. And you can meditate on how to overcome. You know, you'll end up in a situation and you go, okay, now wait a minute. How did Satan get me this time? You know, why did I end up here? I know I've done a lot of that. You know, it's like, how did I end up here? You backtrack through your life's experiences and try to figure out, you know, how that happened. Because he has, you know, Satan has devices that he uses. You know, we have weaknesses, the world has pulls, all of these things. And we can meditate and try to figure out how, you know, how did that happen? I'd like to turn to Psalms 4 and verse 4. There's an interesting verse here. Psalms 4 and verse 4. It says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. I read that and I went, wow. That's really interesting. You know, stand in awe. You know, we stand before God and, you know, all we can do is just stand in awe. And then it says, sin not. You know, that's another one of that's box five, you know. Sin not. You know, if we're standing in awe, and we understand who God is and who we are and what he has to offer, you know, the logical conclusion is sin not. And then it says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. Because when you do have time to reflect on your life and you can basically do a check on yourself, You know, it's like, are my motives pure? Do I have a pure heart? Am I doing this out of a pure motive? Am I in line with God? Am I in line with God's ways? You know, God checks our heart. You know, He's a you know, I can't remember the exact scripture right now, but it's like, he looks on the heart. We know that it's very important that our heart be right. You know, when it's all over, when it's time for us to die or whatever, we'll have the character that we've built. You know, we always have our struggles. We have, you know, the pulls of the flesh. We have the world. But when it's all said and done, and the flesh is gone, and the world as we know it is changed, you know, we've been resurrected or you know, Christ comes back, then what's left? You know, what's left is what's in our heart. You know, if we love God, if our heart is pure, if our motives are pure, if we are spiritually minded, as it says in Romans, then what is the pull to sin? If our will is to obey God, then when those things are gone, there's no reason. I don't think there's anyone in this room that would say, well, you know, I might decide to join Satan and go on the other side. Nobody's going to do that. So it's good to examine our heart and our motives. And then it says to be still. And I know that in my experience, when you are quiet and you are, you know, directing your thoughts towards God and on God's principles and on God's way, that many, many times that is when God might reveal something to you. Not some, you know, earth-shattering thing, you know, like who is the eighth, you know? But something will be revealed because you're receptive to God's thoughts and God's Holy Spirit. You're receptive to God communing with you in that way. Many times it'll be an answer to something you've been wondering about, or a way out of some situation. You know, it probably won't be anything earth-shattering, but it'll be something that you're receptive to, so God can speak to you in that way. To listen to God's instruction. So we'll meditate on who God is, to put our life in perspective. Meditate on God's law, meditate on His ways, meditate on the ways that we should be and how to get there. To meditate on how to overcome certain things, on how God's law applies to us. And then the other thing I have is to meditate on our goal. And our goal, of course, is to be forever with God. This is our motivation to be, you know, the kind of people that we need to be. You know, to fight the fight that we have, we need a motivation. And different things motivate people. You can be motivated by fear. You can be motivated by love. And I think that the more we are motivated by love, you know, the desire to be with God, the desire to have what we catch a glimpse of now. You know, we can, sometimes when you're praying and meditating, you, it sort of becomes clear to you. As soon as you try to vocalize it or, you know, bring it into the to this realm, it kind of poof goes away, you know. I was talking with a guy one time and I said, yeah, I had a lucid moment the other day. And he just kind of goes, whoa, you know, those are so cool, you know. But it's like you'll have a lucid moment, you know, you'll catch a glimpse of just, you know, the joy that is waiting for us in this spirit world. You know, that realm that, you know, all the things that drag us down just aren't there. And it's tremendous to, you know, to have that glimpse, to have that motivation of what it would be like. You know, and then to meditate on, you know, this is another just fantastic thing, which is, I think, one of the boxes that John had. To meditate on what God the Father and Jesus Christ were willing to do so that we could have the opportunity that we have. You know, it's just amazing to contemplate, you know, them thinking about and planning what they, you know, what they did. You know, it's in the past tense now. I mean, it's still, you know, the plan isn't over, but, you know, I would think the part about, you know, Jesus Christ emptying himself of his glory, you know, and coming to this earth to live as a human being, you know, that part is over. And I would think that would be, you know, even on their part, a very, you know, a very satisfying part to have over. But just to meditate on what, you know, what they were willing to do so that we could have the opportunity that we have, so that we can have this as a goal, you know, to be, you know, like the song, to be God's eternal family. So I hope that, you know, the purpose of this message is simply, you know, we come to church so that we can direct our minds, you know, collectively upon God, and we can be instructed, we can be encouraged to, you know, stay the course, to stay on, you know, the path to eternal life. And there is kind of a gap, you know, between the ideal and where we are. We strive for that. And I think the tool that is best suited to help us bridge that gap is the tool of meditation. So I hope that by, you know, meditating on God and God's awesomeness and his greatness and what he was willing to do, and then meditating on God's law and God's will for us, and meditating on the awesome, you know, goal that we have, our future. And God has said, you know, that he has, you know, he has called us, he's given us the earnest of his spirit, and he's, you know, as from his perspective, it's as good as done. You know, it's a done deal as long as we don't, you know, forsake him. And we aren't going to do that. You know, I don't think anybody in this room plans to do that. So I really appreciated John's message. And I think that between the, you know, the five things that he gave us, and really, you know, I thought that was excellent, you know, to put that together. You know, get ourselves on an even keel and just meditate on that. Ask God for, you know, more of his Holy Spirit to help us, and then meditate on that and work our way through a lot of the problems that we have. Not that we need to become perfect. We want to, but it's probably not going to happen in this life. But it doesn't need to, because we are striving to overcome. We love God, and we'll be there in his kingdom.